When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
No, UNC, Chris, I don't think the wife is going to go for do it for Mutombo. I don't think she's going to be on board. I mean, I'm not saying I'm above trying. I'll give it a run. I think it might. The odds for success would be greatly improved if we had power. You know what I mean? Like, if we had air conditioning and electricity, then, like, maybe I could get away with who wants to sex Brown, do it for Mutombo, and maybe that'll work. But I'm just going to say I'm like a plus 950 underdog for that working.
If the founding fathers and the people who came to this country to make the great country that it is today needed air conditioning, we wouldn't be here right now.
You know what the difference was? They didn't know about it.
Well, that is true. It didn't exist.
Yeah, I know about it. In fact, not only do I know about it, I've experienced it all my life.
You're talking about air conditioning, by the way.
Correct. That needs to be clarified greatly. Hey, Skrilla's got another one. Skrilla's got another one to add to the bro who could walk into the bar and ask, who wants to sex my name club, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. If you're a soccer bro, you know good and gosh darn well he would. Now, he only refers to himself as his first name, not his last name. So he would absolutely roll into the bar and go, who wants to sex Zlatan? And we'd all go, yeah, that works. That works. Zlatan, Mutombo, McConaughey. That might be the list.
See, I can't help but picture, you know, the guys in the place just holding their thumbs up. Boy, now I'm like, yeah, way to go, dude.
Yeah.
You're the only one in here who could do this.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I am willing to bet most of us wish we had that, as the kids say, aura. I wish at any point in my life that I was the dude that could have gotten away with walking into the bar and saying that and not having people wanting to punch me in the gut for it. But I'm not. I never have been. I ain't got that kind of, what do the kids say, riz? I ain't that kind of, I don't have that kind of riz. Dikembe Mutombo damn sure did.
Are you absolutely certain that's the right word?
90%. Yeah, no, I am.
I was going to say, yeah, 90% is good enough, I suppose.
I think I am. I think I'm good there. Mutombo.
There's no kids in the building that we could go ask, I guess.
That's also true.
Yeah.
That's also true.
Everybody's at least almost 30. So, I mean, you know.
It's 7:05 in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. You have 55 minutes, so you got to get clocked in and locked in at work. And when you do, whether you're going into the office or not going into the office, or maybe you're working remotely, maybe you're not working at all, maybe there's still no power at your office, which I'm sorry to hear. Either way, you're going to talk about sports today. You know it. I know it. We know it. And if you're going to talk sports, you got to know what's going on in sports. And that's why we do this. The water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you start talking sports with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you have to be around today. When you do, this is what you will be talking about. Let's dive right in with item number one. As we mentioned just a few minutes ago, a pair of legends in the sports world passing yesterday. One of them, the all-time MLB hits leader, Pete Rose, passing away yesterday at 83 years of age. A spokesperson for the Clark County something office. A spokesperson for Clark County. There you go. I'm a professional. I'm good at this. Confirming on behalf of the family and the medical examiner that Rose passed away yesterday. Found by a family member, coroner will investigate to determine the cause and manner of death, but there are no signs of foul play. Over the weekend, Rose had appeared at an autograph show in Nashville alongside former teammates Tony Perez, George Foster, and Dave Concepcion. If you were a baseball fan in the 60s and 70s, Pete Rose was the face of baseball. I mean, the dude was an absolutely electrifying player back in the day. Just about every record from the dish was either held by Pete Rose or is still held by Pete Rose. Pete Rose finished his career as a 17-time All-Star, a 3-time World Series champ, an NL MVP, a World Series MVP, an NL Rookie of the Year, a 2-time Gold Glove Award winner, a Silver Slugger Award winner, the Roberto Clemente Award winner in 1976, a 3-time NL batting champ. His number was retired by the Cincinnati Reds. He went into the Reds Hall of Fame. He is on the Major League Baseball's 1900s All-Century team. And he holds 5 MLB offensive records to date. 4,256 career hits, 3,215 career singles, 3,562 career games played, 14,053 at-bats, 15,890 plate appearances. Those are all Major League Baseball records that still belong to Pete Rose. But obviously, the conversation about Pete Rose, fairly or unfairly, has long moved past his capability, talent, skill as a baseball player and went into his transgressions as a baseball manager, where he ultimately admitted, though he did not ever directly say for sure, he did admit fault when he accepted a lifetime ban from baseball. Pete Rose obviously tried multiple times to be reinstated into Major League Baseball. None of those efforts proved fruitful. As late as last year, when Rob Manfred was asked at the All-Star game, hey, now that baseball has open partnerships with sports gambling outlets, will Pete Rose's reinstatement be considered? And Manfred said, no, it will not be. Pete Rose passing away yesterday at 83. The other icon, Dikembe Mutombo, one of the greatest defensive players in the history of the National Basketball Association, after a battle with brain cancer, passing away at just 58 years of age. Aside from his incredible on-the-floor career, Dikembe Mutombo was appointed the NBA's first global ambassador for basketball. Loved the game of ball. Grew up in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Went way out of his way to invest in the game in Africa. And you are continuing to see the fruits of those labors with basketball on that continent. Dikembe Mutombo finishes career with 3,289 blocks, second only to Akeem the Dream Olajuwon for most blocks in the career. And on top of that, was just a good and hilarious human being. RIP to Dikembe Mutombo and Pete Rose. Let's get to item number two. The Atlanta Braves decided to make it ugly for absolutely no reason at all, but they are into and onto the postseason. The Atlanta Braves clinched the final wild card spot in the NL yesterday. They started a doubleheader against the New York Mets yesterday afternoon with Spencer Schwellenbach on the bump. Spencer had a pretty good go of it. Didn't matter. Bravos took a one-run lead into the final inning of play. And then Francisco Lindor went yard for a two-run shot that put the Mets up 8-7. They would hang on, and they would punch their ticket after game number one. In that game, Spencer Schwellenbach finished 7 innings, gave up just 4 hits, 1 earned run, K'd 5 through that contest before handing it over to the rotation of Jimenez, Iglesias, Bummer, and Johnson. So we went to game two. The Bravos had to win game number two, or else the Arizona Diamondbacks would have taken the last spot. The Bravos did win game number two, a 3-0 final score in that one. Grant Holmes got the nod. Chris Sale was expected to start this game, but Sale was pulled due to back spasm. Sale will not be available for Atlanta when the wild card round begins this evening, tonight at 8:10 p.m. on the road against the San Diego Padres. Grant Holmes got the nod, 4 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts before Hernandez, Lee Lopez, Jimenez, and Iglesias took over to wrap it up. The Mets went deep into the bullpen for this one because they didn't care. They were already locked in both to the postseason and to their position in it. It benefited the Braves. 3-0 winners in game number 2. Atlanta on to the postseason. They will be on the road in the wild card round at San Diego. And I find that one very interesting. We're going to talk about that series and the unfortunate reality that is the fact that, you're ready for it, Braves are getting swept in the wild card round. They will not win a playoff game this season. I'm ready to book that now, and we'll talk about that coming up here later on in the show. Finally, let's get to item number 3. Are Monday Night Football games water cooler cheat sheet caliber? Like,
why wouldn't they be? They're actual sports that happened last night.
All right, that's fair.
Some people are waking up without power, I want to remind
you.
And still having spotty cell service, and they don't know who won last night.
That's very fair. Let's use them then. Item number 3, 2 Monday Night Football games yesterday evening, the first of which a 42-29 victory for the Detroit Lions over the Seattle Seahawks. Detroit last night, offensively, fireworks everywhere, and it all started with Jared Goff. Set an NFL record for most passes in a game without an incompletion. He was 18 of 18. Mwah, perfection for Jared Goff. 292 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions in this one. But there was more history to be made by the Lions last night. Amon Ross St. Brown threw 1 pass. It was completed to Jared Goff for a touchdown. They ran the Philly special. Ended up being a tutty in the hands of their starting QB. His first career receiving touchdown for Jared Goff. It also made the Detroit Lions the first team since 1933 to have a perfect completion percentage with multiple players throwing at least 1 pass. So, big history night for the Lions last night. Jahmyr Gibbs, 78 yards on 14 carries. David Montgomery, 40 on 12. Jameson Williams, 2 catches for 80 yards, but one of them a 70-yard tutty. Sam Laporta, welcome back to the highlight reel. 4 snags, 53 yards for him. Both Williams and St. Brown had touchdown passes through the air. Jared Goff caught the third as well. 31-12, the Tennessee Titans end up knocking off the Miami Dolphins. Sans Tua Tagovailoa, they rolled out Tyler Huntley. He went 14 of 22 for 96 yards. No tutties, no picks last night. The Dolphins also had 106 rushing yards. 40 of those belonged to Tyler Huntley, the quarterback. The Miami Dolphins as a whole put together 202 all-purpose yards yesterday. Will Levis entered the game. He left the game after just 4 passing efforts. 3 of 4 for 25 yards, no touchdowns and 1 pick on a running play. Tried to leap to gain a first down, came down on the shoulder, and was yanked from the game after that. Replaced by Mason Rudolph, who went 9 of 17 for 85 yards, no touches, no picks. It was Tony Pollard, the former Cowboy, who powered the Tennessee Titans offense. 22 carries, 88 yards, and a touchdown. Tajay Spears had the other one for the Titans in this one. It was pretty much exactly what you thought it was going to be. Pretty much exactly how you thought this was going to go down without Tua Tagovailoa. The Dolphins just aren't good without that quarterback. So the question becomes, do the Dolphins make a move? There are 2 teams now that I think pretty much at this point have to make a move. One of those is the Miami Dolphins. The other one, Lonzo's Kansas City Chiefs, because Rashee Rice is officially out for the year. They are now down Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice at this point. So the wide receiver core decimated in Kansas City. We're going to talk about that and the Dolphins and The reason why is both of those teams potentially interested in some players out of the Carolina Panthers roster. We're going to talk about that coming up later on in the show. Before we go to break, want to tell you, if you have out there any updates, information, knowledge that you think the people of the upstate would like to know as we continue to dig out and recover from Hurricane Helene, please text it to us, 71307. Start your text with FANS, 71307. Let us know what you got going on. What I do know is this. The Haywood Mall is effectively being used as a staging ground for line crews. There are hundreds and hundreds of line crews around the upstate working to get power reinstated. I've got three or four friends who got their power back last night. I know that they have done a lot of work around downtown Greenville and then working their way outward. We're going to do everything we can to keep you informed on all of that as the show moves on and as the week moves on. The biggest information that I can give you right now is that as of yesterday, Duke Energy is hoping to have their portions of the power grid turned on and ready by Friday afternoon for the majority of the upstate. That was an update that we got yesterday. Duke is hoping to have their portions of the grid reinstated by Friday afternoon. They obviously could run into unforeseen problems. I basically got told yesterday that the biggest problem that is being experienced right now is that a lot of the places that the lines are down, they have to wait for the properties to be cleared, right? They got to wait for tree trunks to get cut up and moved out and branches to be out of the way and streets to be opened up. The biggest issue they're having right now primarily is that they just can't get to where they need to get to in order to turn the power on. So there's a lot of waiting for the line crews as well. But we're keeping an eye on this for you the absolute best that we can. If you have any information you think the people of the upstate would like to know, text it to us, 71307. Start your text with FAN. We'll do what we can to keep you updated. Let's take a break. We're back after this. Rob Alonso and you on the Rob Brown Show and the FAN Upstate.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Rob Brown Show carries on. It's the FAN Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob, the great Milonzo, and you. We talked about a pair of teams in the National Football League that may have to make a move. Tua Tagovailoa is out for the at least next two weeks. He sat out one game so far. He'll be out the next 3 weeks as he's on the IO after his concussion. And then there's the Kansas City Chiefs. Rashee Rice is now out for the season with a busted wheel. He joins Hollywood Brown, the wide receiver core for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I think qualifies to be referred to as decimated, unfortunately, which leaves Patrick Mahomes effectively with Travis Kelce to work with. And the names of big-time pass catchers, not really anybody else.
Yeah, well, Sky Moore's been there for a while. He can do it. They've got some other receivers, and I've heard this before. Oh, my gosh, they have nobody to throw the ball to, and still they won the Super Bowl. I mean, I just, you know, until I see them lose, which they haven't done yet, and lose in a fashion where they get beat because they have no one to throw the ball to, I'm not that concerned. Do they need, should they make some moves? Why not? Yes.
They are undefeated. Let's ask the question. Are the Kansas City Chiefs worse today than they were yesterday before we knew Rashee Rice was out for good?
Yes.
Yes, of course. So, knowing that that's the case, knowing that, as you said in the last segment, the odds are definitely not ever in your favor. Shout out Katniss, what up? I think Kansas City is a team that needs to make a move. I also think the Miami Dolphins are a team that need to make a move if those teams wish to remain front runners for their respective conferences and their respective conference championships moving forward. So, why do I bring this up? Who the hell cares about the Dolphins and the Chiefs? Well, I'm going to tell you why.
Well, a lot of the listening audience care about both teams.
Here is why, because both of those teams could end up as potential trade partners for the Carolina Panthers.
I also want it to be noted how disrespectful what you said was.
Nothing I said was disrespectful. Saying that the Chiefs are
no,
not...
No, saying that no one cares about them. You said no one cares about the Chiefs, or that's disrespectful.
Our listening audience does not have a major demographic. I'm not saying there's none, but it's not a major demographic of Chiefs and Dolphins. If we came in here and taught Chiefs and Dolphins for an hour, we would get a come to the principal's office text over the PA. That just is what it is. That's okay. Probably, it's the same not. With my Saints.
I disagree.
All that being said, the discussions have been ongoing about who, if anybody, these teams should target. And there are some names out there. One of them comes off, although they did win last night, the Tennessee Titans, that DeAndre Hopkins. 2 catches, 31 yards last night for the Tennessee Titans. Now, in fairness, Will Levis left after only 4 passes. Mason Rudolph stepped in as his backup. It wasn't exactly like dude had anybody thrown him the ball. But D-Hop, so far in this season, has had 1 game over 31 yards. He had 8 yards in game one. He had 9 yards in game two. 73 and a touch in game three. Four targets. 2 catches, 31 yards in game four. Things are not going for Nuke and the Titans the way that they hoped that they would when they brought him there. So D-Hop's on the table. But Adam Schefter told Pat McAfee yesterday, there's another couple of names that are on the table. So Schefty is saying, hey, if at the trade deadline the Panthers are saying, then Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen may very well be on the block. And
Thielen's hurt, though. I mean, is he expected to recover in a way that will make him good for a trade?
I will tell you, if he has got any promise to play at the end of the year at all, he is instantly worth the trade for you.
Out of those two, I think Deontay Johnson would be the better fit for Kansas City.
I don't disagree. I already think, if anything, you've already got your slot guy. His name is Xavier Worthy, and he's a bro. But he is, by definition, in the way he plays, and again, he's excellent at footballing. This is not taken away. The kid can ball for sure. He's, by definition, at the best, a wide receiver. I have him in the slot as a Z because of the utilitarianism of having him lined up with speed and the ability to motion him all over the field out of the slot. You've already got a slot receiver. Would I still add Adam Thielen? Yeah, I'll move Xavier Worthy to the Y. I'll move him to the two spot. I'll move him out wide, put him up on the line, and still do all I can to work him into these different spots, utilizing motion, et cetera, et cetera. But you got Justin Watson trotting out there. Yeah, Adam Thielen's a trade target. I do agree. Deontay Johnson is a bona fide two, all right? Like part of the reason I think it took a little while, aside from the fact that Bryce Young just is not a developed quarterback, whether you blame him or you blame the Panthers or, like me, you put a little bit of the blame on both, he's not a developed quarterback. But one of the things I think, one of the reasons I think it took a hot minute for the passing game for Carolina to find any sort of traction is because of what we talked about how many times. Adam Thielen was a one last year. He's a three this year. Xavier Leggett was not on the team last year. He's a rookie. Now he's the three. Deontay Johnson has been effectively, though he has played a good bit of X wide receiver, he has career played a number two wide receiver. Now he has been moved up to number one. Putting Deontay at a two spot, I think, is a great move. And in Kansas City, you could do exactly that. Now, you don't have Rashee Rice. You're going to have Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore, Mecole Hardman, and Justin Watson. So I think
Watson had a really good catch. Mecole Hardman won the Super Bowl last year. I mean, it's not like you have nothing.
It's not like you have nothing. I'm not even going to sit here and pretend you have one of the top 18 wide receiver units in the NFL right now. You don't.
Did they last year?
It was better last year than it is today this year. But,
did they last year?
No, they did not. I respect your blind, relentless optimism that everything's going to be okay.
Listen, I think I'm asking legitimate questions, and thank you for answering them. They did not last year either. They don't. I mean, outside of Kelsey, and when the Cheetah was there, that's been it as far as receivers go.
I would say in the playoffs last year, you had Rashee Rice. Right? Like, that's the conversation right now. That dude, and in fairness, he didn't come on until late in the season last year. But when Rashee Rice came on, you have Rashee Rice. Now, you don't have Rashee Rice. When you added Hollywood Brown, even though I as I've said a number of times, I think the dude is got a case of the dropitis. But when he's catching the football consistently, Hollywood Brown paired with Rashee Rice was going to make you one of the most, I would argue, dominant wide receiver cores in the NFL.
Has he played it down this year? Has Hollywood? I get what you're saying. I do, but I don't believe any of that stuff because as long as Patrick Mahomes is healthy, they've got a chance to win.
No one's saying you don't. What you're saying is, when you lose Hollywood Brown, I don't care if he never played it down. Without him, your offense is worse than it would be with him. We are talking potential here.
Okay, why are we talking potential when we can talk about what they have on the field and what they've been able to do so far?
What they have on the field.
Undefeated.
What they have on the field with the loss. Yes, undefeated. You are without a doubt correct. They are empirically undefeated. Sure. They are empirically undefeated with a one-score win over the Ravens that legit Baltimore should have won that game, all right? With a one-point win over the Cincinnati Bengals, who have one win over the Carolina Panthers, with a five-point win on the road over the Atlanta Falcons.
Dude, you can get all mad about this, but as far as this goes, that's what Kansas City does. They don't beat anybody by two touchdowns. They don't do that. They've never done that.
The best.
So this is how they win. Whoever has the ball on the last drive wins the game.
Okay, here's what
that's
I hope.
How it works.
Here's what I hope. I hope they don't do a damn thing. Right now in this moment, I hope they don't do a damn thing. And let's test that theory. Like, I'm good with that. But you've got on the other side, you've got we suck now, but sorry, wait. You've got the Saints. Then you got the 49ers. You got Tampa waiting in the wings. Tampa Baker waiting in the wings. You got Buffalo down there. You got, your schedule's kind of easy the rest of the way. I'm not going to lie. It's a pretty simple schedule the rest of the ride. But the point is, your meat and potatoes is coming up.
There's some hard games in there. Tampa Bay is not going to be easy at all, and it's never easy playing Buffalo. So, I mean, and the Saints.
You know what you sound like? You know what I just realized you sound like? You sound like the Bills fans that make you hate Josh Allen. That's what you sound like right now. Oh, if Mahomes wakes up, we're going to win. We're going to win. We got a chance. All right, that's all Buffalo fans say about Josh Allen, and you get furious about it.
I do believe that I put facts out there. I do believe I did. And so I'm not being unrealistic. I'm only going on recent history and what they've been able to do with what little they have had.
What little you have had is more than you have right now. That's my point. You've won all these games close. I'm not disagreeing. But I'm saying is you've won all these games with more talent that even in your down years, you have had dramatically more talent than you have right now.
Okay. But, I mean, Rashee Rice goes down, but you got Xavier Worthy through the draft. I mean, you trade one for the other.
And that's Mecole Hardman, is that the guy we're leaning on?
Won Super Bowl last year.
No, Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year.
The last I checked, he caught the ball that won the Super Bowl. If he wasn't on the team, he couldn't do that. And they brought him in late after he was with another team doing nothing, brought him back to the team, and he ends up winning the Super Bowl. Chances are they're going to bring in somebody who was with the Chiefs already, went somewhere else, And you're going to go, why would they bring that guy in when they could have this guy?
Who's that guy?
It's Valdez Scantling, I think, went somewhere, like to the Jets or somewhere. They'll bring someone like that back.
I mean, I don't know who's on that list that makes you better.
If you know this, it could just be the system. You know, Andy Reid's pretty good. Pretty good coach.
Nobody's arguing with any of that. I agree. There is probably not a coach in the league right now that knows how to get more out of less than Andy Reid. Now, I will also say this. I do wonder if there's not that Belichickian factor of, yeah, it's real easy to do when Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback, all right? Hoodie, you saw pretty quickly when Brady left New England, Hoodie's offense all of a sudden didn't look like the juggernaut it did for 20 years.
I love how you suddenly are hating on the Chiefs. Like, I'm people hated on the Patriots. Yeah, you're making that turn, dude.
Let's be real clear.
Oh, it's just me. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Right now in this moment, it's just you. Because the arrogance that you have about your team right now is infuriating.
By the way, I'm not being arrogant. I'm being calm.
You're like, we're fine.
No.
We've lost our top two wide receivers. We're down to one rookie. We're great. We're still going to win.
Whoever has the ball on the final drive is going to win, whether it's Kansas City or the other team. It's been like that.
It's been like that because you've had Rashee Rice.
I used to get upset, but there's no sense of getting emotional. You can't with this team because they're not going to blow anybody out. They're going to barely win every time. If you're going to be emotional about it, you might as well move on to another team because they're not going to do the things that you would like them to do. They're just not.
Again, I agree. And that's all fair about that team. With Rashee Rice! You just lost your best pass catcher. He's gone.
Who you just mentioned.
How do you think you don't go backwards?
Didn't come on till the end of the season.
Right.
Somebody else will do that this season.
And we're going to find out. I will say this. You're probably still going to beat the Saints this weekend. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. +71 307 is the text line. Start your text with Fan, F-A-N. And in case you missed it yesterday, got a fun new little feature for you. Here's what I want you to do. Grab the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. If you don't have it yet, go get it right now, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Put it on your cell phone or your tablet or whatever you use. And once you do, go heart the Fan Upstate. When you do, it's going to bring you to the Fan Upstates page. When you go to the Fan Upstates page, you're going to see right there in the middle of the page two buttons. One's a big orange one that says Listen Live. Push that button, Listen Live. Anytime, day or night, rain or shine, if you've got a cell phone, a speaker, and service of any type, you can listen to the station at your discretion on the Odyssey app. But number two, there's a little microphone button. You push that little microphone button, and it is going to allow you to record a 60-second voice message that will be sent directly to yours truly. It is that simple. All you got to do is log on to the Odyssey app, go to the main page, click on the microphone button, and leave a 60-second message. When you're done, it's going to send it directly to me. And that feature is available to you 24/7, 365 days a year. You can send me that message during the show in the AM. You can send it to me with your thoughts on your lunch break, or you can get plastered at night and send me your thoughts after a liquor bender at 3:30 AM, and I don't care, all right? I want you to have fun with this. I want you to make it awkward. I want you to make it uncomfortable. I want you to make it funny, or I want you to give me your deep philosophy thoughts.
What if they just want to call in and say, hey, we enjoy the show and, you know, go some team or something?
And Rob. Thanks, Michael in Greenville, who sent us our first voice memo yesterday on the new Odyssey app.
That's a nice eye roll. Now you know how I feel every day, especially last segment.
Mike in Greenville sent that to us yesterday, and we appreciate it. Now you can join the ranks. Go to the Odyssey app. Go to the Fan Upstates page on the Odyssey app. Click that little microphone icon and drop a 60-second voicemail that will come straight to me, available to you 24/7, 365 on the Odyssey app. Now, Let's get back to the conversation we were just having a second ago. It turned into a conversation about the Chiefs, which is more than fair. Lonzo, noted Chiefs guy.
Nuh-uh.
Let's talk about it from the Panthers' perspective. There are two teams that we talked about, the Miami Dolphins, who started Huntley last night, and he was not good. And then there's obviously the Kansas City Chiefs, who sans Rashee Rice could, not saying will, could be in the market for a wide receiver. If you missed the clip, Adam Schefter said there are two in Carolina that might be considered. I agree. So, Texas said high potential. Said the Panthers trade Johnson. For what? How desperate are the Chiefs, right? This is a spot to me, and again, how desperate are the Chiefs? But this is a spot to me where if the Chiefs go, we got to go get a guy. Sans Rashee and Hollywood Brown, we don't feel like we have provided enough weapons even to the great Patrick Mahomes. We can't, there's just not enough talent there. Well, if they are desperate, I don't think there is a ton of dudes out there. I don't think there's a ton of dudes out there that are on the block in a spot like this. I think there's a few, but there are very few that I think are in the caliber of wide receiver that the Chiefs go, that guy can at least cut, I don't know, significantly into the damage that Rashee Rice was capable of doing. Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen are two of those cats. So the question is, how desperate are the Kansas City Chiefs? And how much are they willing to come off of in a quest for a three-peat? You've got not just the fact they need a guy, but they also, they all said it after last year. They want to be the first team to three-peat. It is an objective for them. I haven't necessarily heard them talking a ton about it so far this season, but I can't imagine that just all of the sudden this team doesn't have three-peat written down on one of those motivational posters in the locker room. If they are desperate to replace the yardage and the tutties they lose in Rashee Rice and three-peat, because you want, if they don't do it this year, if they want a three-peat, it's 3 years down the road to try that again, right? And you got to win two in the process to do it. If they are desperate and the three-peat is a legitimate goal of theirs, they might be willing to come off a pretty, pretty hefty haul. So the question is, do you disrupt Carolina in order to send out a wide receiver? Because what you've got to look at is, sure, you got the red rifle out there playing right now in Andy Dalton. But part of the reason you're doing that is, if you are sticking with Bryce Young, this is time for BY to sit back. There's no pressure on the guy. There's no expectations of him. Sit back, learn, gain confidence, game pose, game poise, whatever. Get all this down. And if you send out Deontay or Adam Thielen or both, right? Effectively, you have created a world where Xavier Leggett is your number one. And we love X. We're big fans of X. I hope that Xavier Leggett is going to be a dude that is going to be an all-star forever. But he's not at a spot.
He needs a lot of work, though. You saw that Sunday.
Needs a lot of work. He's not a guy I'm going, okay, you're the number one. You're the X right now. So basically what you are trading for me, and maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not. It depends on how desperate Kansas City is. What you are trading is any sort of stability that allows for development of Bryce Young any further this year. You will not be able to develop Bryce Young if Xavier Leggett and John Mingo are your one and two. So what's the trade worth? If Kansas City calls you and they go, we're so hungry, we're going to give you a one for Deontay Johnson, you take that pick. You take that trade. If they call you and go, we're going to give you a four, I'm up in the air about it. If they call you and go, we'll give you a sixth and a seventh, I'm out because I cannot do anything. I can't develop him any further unless you've completely given up on Bryce Young, in which case you send Bryce Young to Miami and you send Deontay or Adam Thielen to Kansas City and you go, we're not doing anything this year. We're not doing anything this year. We're just going to be bad. We're going to go get the number one overall draft pick. We're going to allow this to be a year where Dave Canales learns how to be a coach with no pressure and expectations on him. You go ahead, you push the red blow it all up button for 2024, assuming you're going to have the number one pick next year, even if it is a crap quarterback class. So that's my thought. If you are going to keep B.Y. around and you really want to develop him, you make Kansas City give you a move or else you don't send him. That's the way it breaks down to me. We'll talk more about this coming up later on in the show. But before we get there, Texter says, I'm glad we call Andy Dalton the Red Rifle, not the Red Rocket.
See?
Do we?
See?
Do we? Ladies and gentlemen, the Andy Dalton of sports flashes, Lonzo.
It's not true. I don't have red hair, and I do have a soul. Jared Goff recorded NFL history last night in a 42-29 Detroit Lions win over the Seattle Seahawks. Goff threw a perfect game, going 18 of 18 for 292 yards and two touchdowns. Goff's perfect performance shatters the previous record of most passes without an incompletion, set at 10 by Kurt Warner with Arizona against Houston in 2005. Goff also caught his receiving touchdown on the famed Philly special from wide receiver Amon Ross St. Brown, which helped the Lions become the first team with 100% completion percentage in a game with multiple players throwing a pass since 1933. The Miami Dolphins entered the season as an AFC favorite to make a Super Bowl run and exit week four at 1-3 after a 31-12 loss to the Tennessee Titans last night, despite Titans quarterbacks Will Levis leaving after just four passes with a shoulder injury. Hey, make sure you tune in on Saturday at 12:30 for the Furman Paladins as they take on the Citadel Bulldogs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.